right? We're going to start praying to the Lord, asking for His direction. And then we're going to sing the Reformation hymn that we sung this morning in praise to the Lord in celebration. And at the end, we're going to go back and sing three hymns that were written during the Reformation days. Three very known hymns. We sang one in the morning and two other ones that you know very well. They are from the time, and we're going to end then with praise to the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day that you have given us and this opportunity now that we have to get together and praise you for your workings in history. So open our minds, let us understand, O Lord, these things, and we pray that we can take good lessons from it. Again, we thank you, O Lord, for those that you raised in the past, that are giants in whose shoulders we stand today. We praise you because we know that they were frail men like us, but you used them for your glory. So all the glory be given to you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing the Reformation hymn that we, for some, learned this morning, for others, perhaps knew from some time already.
We will trust God's word alone, where His perfect will is known. Our tradition shift like sand, while His truth forever stands. We will live by faith alone, clothed in merit, not our own. All we claim is Jesus Christ, He has
Now we have sound?
Oh, we do.
Sorry for that. So we have, in fact, several movements that happen. And it's very difficult, and historians have tried to connect them all, but it's really difficult to connect properly each of them. We can only think it was a movement of renewal, something that was ruined. It was that moment it got and kind of burst in several movements. So what one of the movements that is more important for us today is the Reformed Reformation, or the Swiss Reformation, which happened in Switzerland. So we're going to see that and see how it connects to us. So in the 1550, Switzerland was formed by 12 cantons. They're called cantons. You could say states. So 12 states. Each of these states was controlled by a city. So, and the thing was, they were the United States before the United States. Because each canton was independent, had their own rules. Oh, should I say it out loud? I'll write it over here. You know my password.
You just changed it.
Did I? This one, remember?
No.
Okay. So she cannot reach her money. I mean, with that password, maybe. That's not true. She has all the cards and passwords and everything. Not a funny joke, even. Yeah, yeah. Not appropriate. Not appropriate. See? I said in the sermon that I do the same thing sometimes. But anyway. So they were independent cities, and they could technically do whatever. But they were, like, in agreement, and they have a kind of agreement of trade, an agreement in case of defense, too. If they were attacked, they kind of helped. But they were independent. And two of these cities, they became very important because they decided to ditch Catholicism and create their own Christian religion. So first, you have on the top the canton of Zurich, the city of Zurich or Zürich. And you have in this far left corner here, Geneva, by the Lake Geneva that gives name to the city. So those two cities, Geneva at this point was not important at all. It was very small, insignificant. About 4,000 people city only. Not very meaningful. Zurich, on the other hand, was the big city. And it's the capital today of Switzerland still. But it was the important thing. So what happened is that a man called Ulrich Zwingli, or Huldrych, not my language, but something that we call Ulrich Zwingli, became the priest of Zurich in 1519. And he was a radical guy. He came ready to break with the old. And Switzerland was sort of a country of freedom, because they had this kind of independent cities, each city, and it was democratic government, which you didn't find much in Europe. So the city had usually a small council of 40, 50, and then had a big council that could be 200, 300 people. And those were elected from people from the city. They had a part. They had, like, regular elections, and they wrote laws. So they were modeled in the ancient Roman Republic, Greek Republic. They had a kind of this democratic kind of system of government. And so they were kind of, we rule ourselves, we do our own thing. So it was a place for a certain, rebellious kind of spirit of certain freedom. So Zwingli was a kind like that. He was a Swiss guy that was raised in a rather radical movement. There were some radical movements even within Catholicism. And when he became priest of Grossmünster, which was the main church, the head pastor of Zurich, he started preaching like a radical thing. Now, this is 1519. Where was Luther in 1519? He was not yet excommunicated from the Catholic Church. He was still debating his ideas. Thing was not thick, right? So you couldn't say that there was, you know, this big thing going on. There was a rumor of a rebel rouser in Germany and all, but it was still not big. It became very big about after the Diet of Worms, remember, which was 1521, which is when Luther, before the Pope and before the Emperor, said, I do not deny my views, here I stand. So that became very serious. That's when he goes on to publish books straight for against the church and translate the New Testament. But here, it's just the beginning. So you couldn't even say that Zwingli was influenced. In fact, he always denied that he was influenced by Luther. But he starts to preach a radical message. And the thing gets traction and, you know, takes a few years of preaching for things to settle in until that the city in 1524 decides to ditch Catholicism. So they say, we don't want Catholicism anymore. So Zwingli, as I said, denied being influenced by Luther, but because he disagreed a lot with Luther, in fact. For him, Luther was a quasi-Catholic, semi-Catholic. Luther didn't go far enough because Zwingli had really radical views. He was a radical guy. So he renewed completely the church. So that's the entrance of the church there in Zurich where he preached. And you have the Alpha and the Omega and the keyhole, the P-hole, the Christ symbol. And the verse is Matthew 11:28. Who remembers Matthew 11:28? Come to me, all those who are weary, and you will find rest. That's the symbol that he kind of adopted for them. But he was a rather radical guy, and people got into it. So next slide. What happens is that they started like really burning things and taking down things and renewing everything and kind of, you know, hanging heretics. And they really went strong in that. What happened is that he created a big problem with the other units of the Federation that didn't like that. At least they didn't like the style. They didn't like the move. It's like Zurich is going crazy. They're becoming independent. All the other cantons were Catholic before. But some of them followed Zwingli. And here, I don't remember if it was 5 to 8. 5 Protestants and 8 Catholics. Or the opposite. I don't remember, but it was something like 5 to 8. But this created a civil war in Zurich. So what happened is that now that the Lutheran movement was rather consolidated in Germany, he seeks help and unity. Both they seek unity in a colloquy or a meeting for agreement, which happened in 1529, which is the Marburg Colloquy. Believe it or not, they didn't get into an agreement, so they never united, and they did very little to help each other. So the kind of Zwinglian movement in Switzerland followed alone. The Lutheran movement in Germany followed alone. And that was seen as a moment of weakness for Zurich, and Zurich was attacked in 29 in the first battle of Kappel. Was a major battle, major civil war in Switzerland. And but the colloquy was not, and this is another picture of it, the colloquy was not well succeeded. That's an original picture or depiction from 1557. What happens is that civil war is raging, things are terrible, and Zurich is attacked another time in 1531. And what happens is that Zwingli dies in that battle because he went to battle with a sword in hand to defend his city. He was not just a man of words and pulpit. He was truly a man of putting his hands on it. So in the second battle of Capel, in 1531, Zwingli dies. He dies defending his city. He dies defending his faith. There's another depiction of his death. So it's a terrible, terrible defeat for the independent cantons, the reformed, the Protestant cantons of Switzerland, but it's a terrible blow for Zurich because they lost their leader. Who replaces Zwingli is a guy called Henry Bullinger. Henry Bullinger is a very smart guy. He's not from Zurich, but his canton also was one of the supporters in the war of Zurich, and his canton was kind of taken by the Catholic opposition. So he had to flee, and he fled to Zurich, and he was a rather eloquent guy too. So they say, hey, why don't you take Zwingli's place? Because there was no one. There was pretty much 5 years of Reformation, 5-6 years of Reformation in Zurich. It was only starting. They were not ever thinking of losing Zwingli. So he takes over, but he doesn't have the leadership of Luther. He doesn't have of Zwingli. He doesn't have as much the respect. Some people kind of see him as a foreigner. Brilliant guy, eloquent preacher, but not the same thing. So at this point, the Reformation in Switzerland gets in a stalemate. The Catholic cantons, they believe they kind of won. Zwingli died. They're prevailing. Zurich and allied ones stay. They vote if they're going to go back to Catholicism or not. Some things back and forth. There are cantons who go back, but Zurich stays reformed. Then, fast forward from 1531 until 1536. And what happens in 1536? A man called John Calvin, stops at an insignificant city called Geneva for sleeping overnight. Why? Because he wants to go to Basel. Basel is another independent city. It doesn't belong to Switzerland. It's in a tribal frontier with Germany, with France, and with Switzerland. It's a reformed or Protestant independent city, and it has become like a sanctuary for refugees, for exiles. The leader of the Reformation there is a man called Martin Bucer. He is a scholar, a very important man. And that city, Basel, has also adopted to become independent of Catholicism. And Calvin now is running because he's being persecuted in his own country, France. He was born Catholic. He studied to be a lawyer initially. Then he studied to be a priest. After his father died, which was his father's desire, he kind of went on his own and started studying humanities, which was, you know, a mixture of philosophy and all the high culture of that time. That's when he gets in contact with Reformed preaching, with Lutheran doctrines, and the movement that was brewing also in France. And we don't know when he got converted, but probably his cousin, Pierre Robert Olivetan, had a great impact on him. Olivetan translated the Bible to common French language and probably was the one guy that preached the gospel to him, and he believed. Then he turns his life completely. He had a job in the Catholic Church. He denies that job. And he writes a book about the true interpretation of the Bible that is called Institutes of Christian Religion. So his Institutes were published in 1535, and they were a success of sale. Great. But what did it happen? He became a known and wanted figure. So because the success of his book, he has to then flee his home country, and he wants to settle in Basel, in Basilea, or Basel. But there's a war, and he cannot do the straight path. So he has to go around the lake, and because he has to stop to sleep, at one night he stops and sleeps at a city called Geneva, insignificant city. What happens is that in that city is a guy called Guillaume Farrell. And he hears in the local tavern that the John Calvin, the writer of Institutes, is spending the night in the city. So he barges into Calvin's room and he says, "Great to have you here. God brought you here. You need to stay and preach here. Don't go to Basel anymore." Calvin says, "Who are you?" And wait a minute. He is a rather also eloquent guy. He is, has a fiery voice. He's very like a expensive guy. And he says, "No, you're not going to go to Basel anymore. You're going to help the Reformation here in Geneva." Geneva had just voted also to follow Zurich and abandon Catholicism. And he said, "We need now to restructure the church here. And a great teacher like you, a scholar, a doctor of theology, have to stay here and help us." And Calvin said, "No, no, I'm sorry, that's not for me. I'm a writer, I'm a scholar. I'll go to Basel, I sit on my desk, I'll write books, and I'll help the Reformation writing books behind my desk." And Farrell says, "God curse your writing and this idea. May God curse you if you pursue that." Quite loving. And Calvin then thinks, "Well, well, well, who's speaking here? Is it God?" And believe it or not, Calvin decides to stay. He understands it's the voice of God through this rather harsh man, Farrell. And then Calvin is elected initially as the reader of the city. You know what the reader does? You not only read. He's actually the teacher, the scholar in place. So he becomes a professor. Later, in 1537, he is elevated to the position of pastor of Saint Peter, the cathedral, the main church of Geneva over there. And then when he becomes the pastor of Saint-Pierre, he starts really a deep and serious reform in the church. However, the city of Geneva, despite voting for the Reformation, was not ready for it. And you have the scene of Calvin when he denies the Lord's Supper to the party of the libertines. So there was a party. It's not that they wanted Catholicism back. They just wanted no religion. They wanted to be left free. And Calvin was a strong guy in terms of morals and how our faith needs to reflect and how we live. He wanted to close the taverns at a certain part of the night, close brothels. He wanted to do a thorough social reformation in the city. He didn't have power for that. He was just a pastor. He was not even a city member. He couldn't even vote for the city. He was a foreigner. I know that thing. He was just a pastor. And his power was the preaching, but the preaching did not suffice. So in 1538, he's kicked out of the city. After 3 years, he's kicked out. He's expelled by the city council, who says, "If you step your foot back in here, you're going to be gently killed." So, where does he go? He goes to Basel. And in Basel are some of the best years of his life, he said. He wrote books. He wrote a commentary in Romans. He does a second edition of Institutes. And he even gets married. He was single to this point. He gets married to a woman. Oh, in Basel, this is Martin Buther, the leader of there. There are many exiles there. And there's a French community, a church, and they don't have a pastor. So Calvin goes to Basel, and he becomes the pastor of this French community. He preaches in French, and he's dealing with his his compatriots, and he is doing the work. And among those, there is a widow called Idelet, Idelet de Boer. Actually, she becomes Idelet Calvin or Idelet Calvin. And he marries her in August of 1540. And he describes his marriage with her, the best years of his life. But he has a very fragile health, and she dies after 8 years of marriage. In between that, they had a couple instances that they had stillborn children. And Calvin describes his wife as a loving person who made his life better, who made his life really gracious and wonderful. And but unfortunately, he couldn't have children, and unfortunately, he left her. What happens is that in 1541, remember that I said that it's a democratic government, right, in Geneva? So in 1541, the government changes again in Geneva. And now, Calvin's friends are back in Geneva controlling the city council. And they revert the previous decision, and they call Calvin back, the same city who said, don't step a foot in here or you're going to be killed. I mean, obviously, all of us would say, thank you, I'll pass that one. God has other calls for me. Calvin writes, if you have time, read Calvin's letters. There's like a compile, like three or four books of Calvin's letters. Some of them are just bureaucratic, but most of them are pastoral, full heart. Is an insight into Calvin. You read a letter like that, it's a sermon, it's almost a devotional thing. Actually, for some time, I did my devotions on Calvin's letters because it's full of Bible scripture and context. And in a letter to Farrell, remember Farrell who said, you are cursed if you don't stay here. He said, Calvin, don't go back. And he writes to Farrell and he says, I'd rather die 1,000 times than go to Geneva. But God's will. I'll submit to him. In fact, Calvin's logo is a hand with a heart that says, my heart I offer to you, O Lord, promptly and sincerely. That is a logo that Calvin had as a kind of a stamp. He would stamp his letters and things. It's a logo that he made as a hand with a heart. That's how Calvin lived. So he goes back to Geneva. He's despised. He has the authorities, the guys that are in the city council that support him. But in the cities, people mock him. A couple instances, they spat on his face. There are situations in which they would call their dogs Calvin. And he would be walking in the street. They would say, Calvin, 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 come here. You dog, Calvin. That is reported by others. We don't know if it's really true. I believe it is. It was hard, the Reformation in Geneva. But Calvin fights. He doesn't quit. He's not a quitter. He's a guy that, you know, writes and writes and writes. A scholar has said that Calvin wrote more than probably you can read in your life because it's... And what's surprising in Calvin is not only how much he wrote in letters, in books, in sermons that he left. I think... I will not say, but I think 15, 16, 18 volumes that much, which is the collection of Calvin writings. There's very little in English, not even a third in English, but there are very good things in English. We have the letters, we have institutes, we have some commentaries. There's a lot of stuff that's still not in English, being translated to this day. But it, what's surprising, Calvin, is the intensity that of the depth in which he writes the things. He has a strong man, not in physique. He's small. He's probably a frail Frenchman with a big nose. That's how he was mocked also for having that's how he had. And he's frail. He has many illnesses from hemorrhoids to dyspepsia. He lives, but he sleeps very little. He works intensely, and he lives to the fullest his life to God. With time and preaching and support of the city council, the preaching goes into people's hearts. But what also helps is that a lot of refugees flock into Geneva following war in Germany, following France, which became continued to be Catholic and persecuting strongly the Huguenots. The Huguenots was the reformist party in France. So they come to Geneva, and Geneva becomes a big city of, some say that in the 40s, Geneva, 40s or 50s, Geneva was around 20,000 citizens already. So it came from 4, it was 20,000. So you can say, oh, 20,000 is nothing. Well, that's Middle Ages, considering that there's no transportation, people don't move a lot, and, you know, going from 4 to 20,000, that's 5 times. It's like Goodlettsville or Hendersonville has 5 times more citizens in a decade and a half. Can you imagine how what that? So in Geneva, it's created a center for development of culture, of righteous living. New neighborhoods are being, there's expansion, there's job for everyone. No one gets unemployed. It becomes a big center. And some people come to Geneva just because there's work, just because there's movement there, because it becomes a city. And it's a city that embraces refugees and uses them well and teaches and trains there, is a serious city. And the city develops. And it becomes even a center for missions. It's our next slide. They send a mission to Brazil, to create a colony in Brazil. So, but they lost back. They go to Rio de Janeiro. You know, in Brazil, Rio de Janeiro is known by carnival and all, but unfortunately. But there, they settle, but they are expelled by the Portuguese in 1560. So it doesn't go on, and that's why we were colonized by Portugal and not by France, or then later Netherlands. Netherlands will try a second time to establish, and they were expelled by Portuguese too. But anyway, Geneva becomes this big center. And even like leaders of other parts of the Europe come to learn with Calvin, and one of the guys that comes to Geneva is a guy called John Knox. John Knox. He spends 2 times there. He spent some time there in 1554, and then he comes to spend a longer time. And John Knox leaves Geneva to start a revolution in Scotland, a civil war, a civil revolution, but leads to the independence of England and the creation of the first Presbyterian church in the world. John Knox was not necessarily a Presbyterian before meeting Calvin, but learning from Calvin and learning at the feet of Calvin in Geneva and having the support of Geneva, he goes to Scotland and he becomes the leader of this revolution that expelled the England crown, gave independence to Scotland, and the foundation of an independent national church, the Presbyterian Church of Scotland. The first Presbyterian church in the world in 1560. So we have in Scotland, next slide, the practical Calvinism. Because Calvin himself could not establish in full his ideas in Geneva. So John Knox adopted a lot of Calvin's ideas about church government and how to run a church and established in the church of Scotland, and it was called Presbyterian Church in opposition to Anglican Church. It's a church that's ruled by democratic representative government by the pews. It's not a church that is ruled by the king, because the Church of England, the head of the church is the king or the queen up to this day. So Queen Elizabeth was the head of the church, and now King Charles is the head of the church. So he forms that church. And they adopt as their symbol the burning bush, just a curiosity. Does anyone know why the burning bush? Nope. We are scorched but not consumed. That's the idea. The church is hit. It is suffers trial. The church goes under scorching fire, but withstands. That's the idea of the burning bush. So a few churches have adopted that. The church, the Presbyterian Church of Ireland, adopts that. Here in America, it was not very well adopted. It was initially adopted by the Synod of Philadelphia in 1708, I think. I'm not sure, but not very well adopted. But in my original denomination home in Brazil, we have the burning bush as... So burning bush has been a symbol of Presbyterianism throughout the world. It, in case you ever see a burning bush and like, well, what is that? It's the symbol of, you know, the fire doesn't consume us. We are on fire, but it is not, we're not being consumed. And the Latin words, nec tamen consumibatur, means burns but is not consumed. So what happens is that a good reformer, John Calvin, dies in the 27th of May of 1564 at the age of just 57. Just 57. He suffered many health issues, as I said, and the past 2 years of his life were spent in bed. His last sermon, he was taken... by chair, so like he was carried in a chair, like they carried him in a chair and put him in a pulpit. He preached, and they brought him back to bed. That was his sermon, his last sermon. From his bed, he tries still to counsel and help and all. And one of the Calvin biographers says that someone heard, and this has been reported. And again, we don't know that this is an anecdote. But Calvin, in one of the nights that he was suffering with fever, and he was in pain, and he was praying with God, and someone overheard through the door that his prayer was, God, you crush me, but I'm consoled that it is your hand. God, you crush me, but I find comfort that it is your hand. So that's a good reformer, John Calvin, passed. He is replaced by a man called Theodore Beza, which was also a tremendous man. Great scholar, great man. He leads Geneva in the establishment of the consolidation of the Reformation, and it becomes a theological center for the whole world, actually, in fact, Europe. If Calvin had gone to Basel, he would never be the Calvin of Geneva. And you know what? A few years later, in mid-40s, Basel turned to Catholicism. The city adopted Catholicism back again. The reformers were expelled. Most of them came to Geneva. But he heard the voice of God, decided to stay, despite, you know, not. The story is much more nuanced than that. I'm kind of rushing here. There are so many nice, wonderful details. If you want to read more or learn more about it, I recommend you to read Francois Wendel. It's the best, probably, biography of Calvin with a kind of a little bit of theology. But if you want to read to your kids, there is a book called This Was Calvin. It has pictures, and it's a kind of romanticized, kind of more like a novel kind of perspective. So it's very, very good to read. I read many, many years ago as a young kid, and I loved it. It speaks a lot about Calvin. All right, so you learned everything. You're ready for a quiz? Are you? Indeed? Are you all ready? You filled the paper there, and you know everything? Okay, so we'll do this. Okay, our lecture is done pretty much. Good, it's just in time. So let's go to a quick quiz, I think. Not quiz, there's a few games. Can we move forward? Let's see who knows. First of all, stop there. Right is not right. But write the name of each reformer. That shouldn't be. So you have it there. So I will put your papers down, put your papers down, put your papers down, put your papers down. Don't look at your papers. You did that. All right? So let's see the kids if what they know. Okay. So who wants to go first? That red dot. Who can say the city? Who can say the city? What city is that? What city is that? And which reformer? Can you say? Wittenberg and? Martin Luther. Very well. You can come forward. You can choose two of these here. Who can say the black one? Black one is? The black one? Black one? Over there. Amy, yeah? Wait! The city, you remember? Edinburgh. And the reformer is? John Knox. Very well. Come forward. You get two as well. The yellow one. Who can say? Steve. Yes, Geneva and John Calvin. Come forward. Get two. And lastly, the blue one. The blue one, or who can say? All right. Okay, let's see if you all know. Come here, tell in my ear. Tell me in my ear. Whisper here. Tell me. Do you know? Can you say, Eddie? The blue one. You were looking. You cannot look. Who knows? Do you know, Eddie? Tell me. Yeah? Very well. Go over there. Get two. So let's go forward then. So what we have, Edinburgh, go, Zurich, Wittenberg, and Geneva. And we have the reformers, John Knox in Edinburgh, Zwingli, Martin Luther, and John Calvin. So we have those kind of important reformation. So connect each symbol to a reformer. Now adults also can take part in it. Adults can take part in it. So symbol number one, please. Oh, number three first. Sorry, but three. Who knows which symbol is this and which reformer is connected to this symbol? Wait. You did already, right? So let's say, Olivia, which reformer is connected to the symbol? Which symbol is this? The church? Yeah, but which church? That's what you need to tell me. Or which movement? Which one? Very well. That is a symbol that Luther adopted. It's called the Rose of Luther. Luther's Rose. Very well. Come here, Jonah. You get one. You can get two. Next symbol. This one adults know. Who knows? We talked in our lecture today. You can raise your hands and get a candy. It's fine. Yeah, we have Craig here. Zwingli in Zurich. Matthew 11:28. And it's the Alpha and Omega with the Christus or Christ symbol, the P-ho, two Greek letters with 11. Please, you got two. Let's go forward. This one, who knows? Adults can know. We just talked about it. Ruth. Presbyterian Church. In Scotland, and the symbol, properly speaking, is the burning bush. Thank you. You can come forward, too. There's plenty, people. Don't worry, all right? I hope. Lastly, that is easy. That's easy. So let's see with the kids. Wait. Someone who didn't go yet. Okay. You tell me here. Now you tell me. Okay. Who was?
John Calvin.
Very well. Come forward then. You can get two as well. All right. John Calvin. I'll give you a chance, okay? Okay, next game. Association game. So you have to associate the picture to the name. Let's come. Come here. Owen, come here. Okay, choose one through four. 1 through 4. Okay, number 1, wait. Now, A, B, C, or D? Choose A, B, C, or D under one of the letters. C. Okay, is that picture the picture of Martin Luther? Okay, very well. Someone else want to go? Someone else want to go? Okay, who didn't go? Piper, come Piper. You, choose 1 through 4. 3. Okay, and A, B, C, D. B. Is that man John Calvin? Very well, Piper, go ahead. Someone who didn't go yet, of the kids, John, you raise your hand, you want to come? Okay, you choose 1 through 4, John. 1, 2, 3, or 4? Four, number 4, good number. Okay, now A, B, C, or D? D. Is that man in the picture Zwingli? Huh? Is that man in the picture Zwingli? Oh, very well, John. You got some candy. Great. All right. Any kid that didn't go yet? Ben, come here, Ben. Choose 1 through 4, Ben. 1, number 1. Okay. Do you know that bearded man, right? It's not a gnome. It's a reformer. A, B, C, or D? A. Is that man John Knox? Very well, Ben. You get 2 as well. Yeah. Very well. No, let's wait. Next game. One of you want to try? Okay, Jonah. Come, Jonah. 1, 2, 3, or 4? 1, 2, 3, or 4? Okay. But now we're going to do it differently. Open all the ones in the bottom, please. Okay, so that man over there is A, B, C, or D? What do you think? D? Are you sure? I'll let you change. It's B, yes, I'm confusing you. Go ahead. Someone else, come boys. Come. 2, 3, or 4? 2. Who's that man, A, B, C, or D? A, John Knox, go ahead. Steve, come. And then Asher, come. 3 or 4? 4. Who's that man? A, B, C, or D? C, very well. Go ahead. Asher? Number 3, which one is? Which is letter? Go ahead. All right. Next game. Memory game is good, right? Adults can take part in it. Okay? Come here, Eddie, come. Okay? We don't have a memory game? Oh, these are the pictures that we have in a memory game. Martin Luther, go ahead. Luther with the 95 Theses. Luther's Rose. The Banner of Sola Fide. More. We have John Calvin. Zwingli, John Knox, and we have a special character, ha-ha, monkey. If you get monkey, it is no go. All right? Let's go to the game. Choose 1 through 15. Choose a number. 15. Now another one. 10. Do they match? Are you sure? Get one at least once. It kind of, let's close them. Who else? Who want to come? Make a line here. Quickly. Make a line. All right? Let's do it quickly here. Piper first. Piper, choose 2 numbers. 14 and 8. Do they match? You can go to the end of the line. Give me a line. Jonah, 2 numbers. 13 and 4. Do they match? Oh, now you, if you remember well, you can go. Go, Eddie, remember? I know. Don't think much. Just say. 11? Oh, you can get that one. And? 9? Nope. Go to the end of the line. Olivia? 15, she said. 4, she said 4. Oh, you got it. 2, get 2 there. Steve, you can leave this one, these open. Steve, 10, and? 8. Oh, very well. Go ahead, Asher. 11 and 13. Very well. Go ahead. 7. Oh, I think that was open before, wasn't it? 5. Yeah, very well. Lily? 12. Sorry. It's not a reformer. Owen? 1 and 9. Nope. John? 2 numbers of the ones that are close. 1, 2, 3, 6, 9, 12, 14. 2, number 2. And number 4 is taken. Another number. 1, 3, 6, 9, 12, 14. 6. No. Go to the end of the line. 2. 6. Oh, 9. Very well. Serve yourself. Amy. 3. And? Very well. Now, you, Ben. One and 14. Very well. Thank you all. You can sit. We're done here. Now, the last game, and adults can take part in it, is a quiz. Quiz, all right? And we're going to do this. For each point that you get right, you get a candy. All right? So you can have it here. For each one that you get right, you get a candy. I don't have enough, perhaps, so you have to share or see. So you take. Okay, yeah. Oh, I forgot to say this. You could save your points. We do extra bonus. 4 points, get a kettle-cooked butter cinnamon pecan. 4 points, get you can manage your points there. Okay. Who needs some paper, pencil, or something to write on your answers? Did everyone get? If you don't have enough, here's one. Here's one. I have one left here. If you need one. Do we need more papers? Do everyone have paper? Oh, you have leftover paper. Papers. Here, do they have papers there? Okay, papers? Would you like a paper there to try? Okay, we're kind of top of the hour almost, so should get going. But, okay, that's just, All right, I have one paper left, if someone needs. Okay, let's go ahead. Number 1, what date do we consider the beginning of the Reformation? It's month and day. What date do we consider the beginning of the Reformation? Month and day. right? Then you ask a brother over there. You ask, hey, ask Olivia to share. But you write with the, oh, paper. Paper is here, bro. Here. So what day do we consider the beginning of the Reformation? Number two, which event happened that day? Which event? Why we, the date and which event? Okay? Have some time. All right. Number three. Where did it happen? Where was the city that this event happened? The city that it happened. The city. The city where it happened. It's a city that has a funny name, different to write, but whatever you write, if you understand, you know, the way you write, it's fine. Four, which Bible text led to Martin Luther's conversion? We talked about this in our previous lecture. He was reading a certain Bible text, and that exploded to him. We even quoted him, his witness and his testimony. Which Bible text led to Luther's conversion, to his true understanding of Scripture? Hey, kids, you did your activities before, and you did these things. Don't look at your activities, you two smart ones. You'll be disqualified. Well, they did an activity. Oh, just taking it. It's technically, you should go with your memory, and the idea is go with your memory, with your mind, what you remember. Number five, what led Luther to write the 95 Theses? What led him? And what I'm looking is, like, which practice of the Roman Catholic Church that led him? Something that outraged him that was happening, you know? A guy came to his city doing that thing, and he was outraged. What was that one thing? Number six, what was the name of the wife of the King of England from whom he wanted to divorce? That's a difficult one. The name of the wife of the King of England. Not the one he wanted to marry. We're talking about the events of the Reformation in England. The one that was the sister of, or she was the niece, I think, of the King of Spain. Remember? So, you have some time there. There are some tough ones there, right? Number seven, who was the priest who helped to make the reform of the Church of England? England. He would have the name of a doubtful disciple of Jesus, but you've got to get the full thing. Okay? I'm giving tips here and there, trying to help you. Number eight, in what city did the Reformation start? In Switzerland. And who led it? So you put the city and the name of the reformer. Just the last name suffices. So what city? You need to put the city where the Reformation started in Switzerland. Remember the reformer of Switzerland and the city that you guessed? You saw the map there. Number nine, how did Zwingli die? How did he die? He died at the age of 97 in his rocking chair. No, he didn't. How did he die? That's for adults. Kids won't know that. They didn't have that. But it's all right because you got a lot of candy already. Number 10. What other city of Switzerland became the center of the Reformation after Zwingli died? So, first started in Zurich. It was important. Then after he died, they continued. But another city became very, very important for the Reformation. And then 11. What was the nationality of John Calvin? Where he was from. Nationality, like the country. I'm running here, I'm sorry, because I want to kind of... 12. How did John Calvin end up in Geneva? That's something that we saw today, right? How did he end up in Geneva? I know that's a long answer, but whatever event you put there, it's fine. So mainly what I'm looking for here is like, why did he stop there overnight? Why did he stop there overnight in the first place? Number 13. What is the name of John Calvin's most famous book? No, he didn't write the Bible. It's a different book. These you don't know. But you, again, you have a lot of candy already, so it's fine if you don't get these ones. 13, 14. What is the first Presbyterian church to be created, and who was important for that? So what was the first Presbyterian church to be created, and who was the reformer who did it? It was the Presbyterian Church of United States. Not quite. And lastly, 15, when was the Presbyterian Church of Scotland founded? Which year? It's not to be easy, folks, and it's just an exercise, don't worry. Even if you don't get it right, I'll let you get some candy. Okay. Let's quickly go over the questions here. So you yourself have control over your answers, okay? So we are in a trusting system. It's a system of trust, okay? So you score your own points, all right? And I want to know if someone scored the 15 points here, the 15 questions, okay? First of all, what date do we consider the beginning of the Reformation? October 31st, right? Which will be the day of tomorrow. Which year? 1517. So Marka, right. Question 2. 3. Where did it happen? Luther placed the 95 theses, right? He wrote the 95 theses. So if you put just 95 theses, we're considering that a correct one. You remember, that's the idea. Where did it happen? It happened in Wittenberg, right? In Germany. So you made up put Germany. I was looking for the city. Kind of the name of the city is important to say 31st of October of 1517, Luther affixed the 95 theses in the Cathedral of Wittenberg. That's kind of what we need to have in mind as a more historical. What led Luther to write the 95 theses is the sale of indulgences. The sale of indulgences. Remember that certificate of forgiveness. Number five. Number 6, yes? I skipped 4. Which Bible text led Martin Luther to conversion? Did anyone get that? Romans 1:17. It was? Okay. I'll trust you score that however you feel you should. What was the name of the wife of the King of England who wanted to divorce? Catherine of Aragon. Catherine of Aragon. Anne Boleyn, yeah. But that's easy. Everyone remembers that one. That's why I asked the other one, the one that he wanted to divorce from. Who was the priest who helped to make the Reformation in the Church of England? Thomas Cromwell. 8. In what city did the Reformation start in Switzerland, and who led it? Zurich and Zwingli. How did Zwingli die? In a war, if you want to even write Kappel, K-A-P-P-E-L, Battle of Kappel, which is the locality. He died in the Battle of Kappel. What was the other city in Switzerland that became the center of the Reformation after Zwingli died? Who knows, kids? Geneva. Very well. What was the nationality of John Calvin? French. French. From where the fries come, right? How did John Calvin end up in Geneva? God led him there. Yeah, that's correct. But he was fleeing persecution from his home country and spent the night there in his trip, right? He was fleeing persecution. And remember, there was a war. He had to go around. But if you wrote he was fleeing persecution, it's fine. 13. What is the name of John Calvin's most famous book? Institutes of Christian Religion. You can just write Institutes, fine. Institutes of Christian Religion would be more correct. What is the first Presbyterian church to be created and who was important? Presbyterian Church of Scotland. And who was important? John Knox. And lastly, when was the Presbyterian Church of Scotland founded? Did someone get that? 1560. Okay, the big question. Does anyone have 15? Does anyone have 15? You have 15? You don't? Okay. Jonah, you had 15? Great. No, some of them were difficult and all. But I'll let you count your points. And then you can serve yourself getting one of these for each point that you have. And if you want to build 4 points, you get one of these, okay? Kids, let's leave these for the adults, all right? Okay? These are for the adults to consume their points. So it's like mileage, right? You gather points and then you use in a store online or something. So count your points and you're free to get that, okay? I hope we have enough for everyone's points. If you are not able to use all your points, tell me because I'll bring more candy for you later, all right? Brothers, we are over time, but I would like to finish with singing as we did and we came here for. Let's sing to the Lord. Let's praise Him. And the hymns that we're singing are hymns of the Reformation. Let's stand. I grieve thee, who my sure Redeemer are. You see that that was made in Strasbourg, and then it was adopted in the Geneva Psalter, 1545, 1551. So all those reformers, Luther, Calvin, John Knox, they sung these songs. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's a 168. And we sing only 3 stanzas, right? Like we did in the morning.
1, 2, and 5, okay? Right.
I greet thee, who my sure Redeemer are, my only trust and Savior of my heart, who pained asunder, go for my poor sake. I pray thee from our hearts all cares to Thou art the King of mercy and of grace, reigning omnipotent in every place. So come, O King, and our whole being sway, shine on us with the light of Thy
Let's sing first and last of this one.
Okay.
If or not. Let's sing First and Last of Him, Just One. That's very known. It's four stanzas. We'll sing First and Last. This is another hymn that was composed in Geneva for the Geneva Celtic.
All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him stirred with fear, His praise foretell. Come ye before Him and rejoice.
For
trust that the Lord our God is good. His mercy is forever sure. His faithfulness at all times stood, and shall from age to age endure.
And let's close with the hymn of Reformation, which is Mighty Fortress, and then doxology after that. But Mighty Fortress. Indeed, the gates of hell will not prevail against church. And we thank you again for those that you raised in the past so we can enjoy this freedom. Let us not take for granted. Let us understand it and use it, O Lord, with all boldness to proclaim your gospel. And let us, O Lord, also with the skills and gifts you have given us. Help us to build your church today. Now we pray for grace as we go home and we rest and get ready for tomorrow activities. Lord, take us back home in peace. Give us a good restful night. And again, praise be the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church, for 2,000 years and forever, we pray. Amen. Let's finish with the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you all for coming today. For the other days, go in peace, brothers. Thank you all. And don't forget to count your points and come get your candy. And there's like cereal bars and other things too, so...